whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
He is the voice of the Oklahoma City Thunder. He joins us now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Matt, welcome to the show.
Good to be here, guys. How are you?
Very good, man. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm curious. We're viewing this as a regular season measuring stick game for the Cavaliers. Is that maybe how OKC fans and media are viewing it as well?
Yeah, they're not real keen on the words measuring stick. They're all, you know, 1 of 82, and this may sound very trite and boring and cliche. They are continually in the improvement mode, whether it be game day, off day, and again, it sounds boring, but it really has served them to continue to ascend. Last season, as the youngest team ever, being a top seed in the conference, going into the playoffs, and then the youngest team to ever win a series, because of that sort of mentality that they bring. And I think they absorb blows, they absorb successes, and they do it in sort of a middle-of-the-road way where it supports them and serves them moving ahead. And they're excited about the matchup. There's no question about that. They recognize two powerhouses to this point in the season. Both have somewhat divergent strengths, although both are pretty good on the side that's perceived. They're not elite. So I think they're excited about it. They certainly were excited about their matchup with the Knicks on Friday of last week, where the Knicks had won 9 straight. They had won 13 straight. Excited to face the defending champion Celtics Sunday, and they extended their win streak with a 13-point win in that one. So they recognize the magnitude of the moment, and I think they're excited to rise to it. But as a measuring stick, I think it will give them a sense of, from a learning standpoint, where they are against the better, the higher-level teams in the NBA.
Matt, even as we're just speaking, I got a notification on my phone. It's like Darius Garland feels like the Cavs are being overlooked and he's being overlooked. And it just seems like it's every other day we get that storyline here out of Cleveland. Do Thunder fans feel like you guys are overlooked, or is this just the beginning stages of what is going to be a really nice run, so you don't even consider that?
Did you enjoy watching the Thunder on Christmas Day in the aftermath of being the top seed in the West a season ago with the youngest, most elevatingly ascending team in the NBA? No, they weren't on. So I think the Thunder know what the Cavs are speaking of, and they've experienced plenty of it themselves. And for smaller markets in this league, unfortunately, that's the reality. Unless you have a bona fide high level superstar like Giannis is in Milwaukee. So unfortunately, the league has not yet recognized that it's about time to turn the page from LeBron and Steph. And there are built-in ratings of those two guys. These are two teams that will carry the torch forward for this league. And I'm glad to see that both of these games between the two, Cleveland and Oklahoma City, are being nationally televised tonight on ESPN, then next Thursday in Oklahoma City on TNT. That's a good thing.
Matt Pinto, Thunder play-by-play man on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. So we know about Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, MVP, the leading MVP candidate right now in terms of gambling odds. I'm just curious, what's going to be the difference between OKC being in the NBA Finals this year and not?
That's an impossible one to answer, because there always seems to be a rite of passage for young teams that progress and expand and grow over time, right? The Celtics went through it for an extended period of time before they finally broke through last season to win the whole thing. So I don't know the answer to that. I don't know the answer to when Caruso and Holmgren are healthy. How much better does that make this team's defense and overall team? We don't know those things. They're variables that will kind of resolve themselves over time. I do know this team has an uncommon maturity for a team that's second youngest in the NBA, that they exhibit every game. They bring physicality. They bring an approach that's selfless. So they play the game the right way. I know the Cavs have a lot of those components under Kenny Atkinson. They display every night as well. So to me, this is as good as it gets in the league in terms of playing the game the way it was designed to be played. And two teams that have competitive fire that's going to show itself tonight in what I hope will be a classic.
So some I don't want to say detractors of the Thunder say, you need another superstar level player there to truly elevate this thing to another level, in addition to just the ridiculous talent. And Sam Presti has, I believe, 75 more draft picks to go through the rest of this decade. I'm curious how much talk there is about needing to add to this core before you can get to that point where you get to that rite of passage and become a team that might be capable every year of being in the NBA Finals.
Well, the thing is, and the reality of the market size the Thunder are in Oklahoma City, somewhat similar here, although I think you guys have a little bit of an upper hand in terms of the economics and the demographics of what Cleveland is versus OKC, is that did you see when they acquired Shea becoming Shea? The answer is no. Nobody did. Everyone thought he'd be a good player, but not at this level, not Jordan-esque in terms of some of the numbers he's putting up on both sides of the ball. So I think they really believe in developing their own players. J-Dub, Jalen Williams is taking the next step. I think he's an all-star this season. Chet Holmgren, once he gets back healthy, is a guy that has superstar potential. So I think they look more that way than they do, who do we go grab elsewhere to bring in? It's the way that they've had success previously, and I think it's by design the direction they're going right now overall.
What's the better unit in your mind? Is it the Cavs offense or is it the Thunder defense?
Really no way to tell until we see him go head-to-head. And I think the one thing that objectively I viewed is who's had success against the Cavs? The Atlanta Hawks. They've beaten them twice. Once in Cleveland, the only team to break through in Cleveland. And one of the things the Hawks do is they have quality wing defenders. The Thunder have that as well. So I'll be curious to see how do the Cavs deal with the Thunder's strength, which is perimeter defense in this game tonight. Can Hartenstein and J-Dub hold up inside against Evan Mobley and Jared Allen? I think those are the intriguing elements to this game as it's going to unfold. And we don't know, because I know the Knicks came in with a lot of offensive bravado about what they were accomplishing at the time. They got shut down completely in the second half by the Thunder defense. The Celtics had 65 points at halftime against them Sunday and scored 27 in the second half. So as the game wears on, this team has tended to make adjustments and get its physicality into the game and kind of wear opposing teams down. So that's one of the really intriguing elements of how this night's going to unfold for certain.
So no Chet Holmgren tonight. You kind of mentioned, I think he's only played 10 games this year. How does the absence of him change how they want to play, or does it?
It does, because he's a pick-and-pop threat where Isaiah Hartenstein is not guarded a lot of times around the elbows. And so that really puts a premium on being crisper in execution, screening, cutting. He's an outstanding passer, and when angles present themselves and they deploy the right way in spacing, he puts the ball where it needs to go. So different talent, highly skilled talent is Hartenstein, and he's brought a lot of basketball IQ that's aided this team on both ends of the floor.
Cavs, you know, they come out and they punch guys in the face. We saw it with the Warriors game early on when the Warriors were really hyped early on in the season. Cavs just came out first quarter, just guns a-blazing. Thunder are 9-4 when trailing by double digits. What about Oklahoma City has shown you that when they get punched in the mouth, it just seems like they're just not out of these games?
Four straight wins, went down double digits nine times on the season. That's what tells me that. They know it's a 48-minute game, and even if the Cavs jump out, say, I don't know, 18-7 tonight, the Thunder aren't going away, and they've proven that against the elite teams in the NBA this season. Not bragging, I'm just, you know, stating facts as to what they've shown the capacity to do during the course of the season. The Thunder will give the full 48 tonight. They do that every game, and I know the Cavs will as well, and that's what has this game elevated at a level it should be. And unfortunately, the one-day run-up should have been preceded by a multiple-day run-up if this were the Lakers and the Warriors in the heyday of Steph and LeBron.
Matt, the Cavs have the best record in the NBA. The Celtics are the defending champions. The Thunder are coming off a win over the defending champions at home. What would be the more impressive win to you, beating the Cavs tonight in Cleveland or beating the Celtics on Sunday at home?
I would answer that with a yes. Excuse me. Both extremely high-level impressive wins. The Cavs have been extraordinarily consistent at an elite level all season, 15 straight to start the season. They've won 18 of 19 at home. To find a way to win in this building tonight would speak volumes about the Thunder, where they are and where they are aspirational to go. And having beaten the Celtics the way they did, shutting down Boston's three-point attack at an alarmingly high rate in the second half of that game Sunday was eye-opening. And I think the league, if they paid attention, had a chance to see that the Thunder defense is real and sustains and can wear teams down. So I think that, you know, the Thunder view this as a great opportunity to learn about themselves against a truly great opponent, and that's exactly the approach they'll take throughout the course of the game.
Matt, obviously, you know, you're doing so many games. I have no idea, and obviously you got a better look tonight. I have no idea how many actual games of the Cavs you've been able to see. But what impresses you about this Cavs team? What in particular do you like about this team?
The way they space the floor, the three-point shooting. Kenny Atkinson is an offensive genius. Really thought he got the short end of the stick in Brooklyn when they let him go. I'm really glad for him. He got an opportunity with this group of guys because they're really gifted and talented offensively. Evan Mobley's ascension, taking that next step offensively. Love their bench. They bring great energy. They also can, you know, punch people in the mouth with LeVert and Ty Jerome, who we love in OKC. The early stages of his career were spent with the Thunder. So just there are a lot of components. There are a lot of things that have fired for them. Garland's resurgence under Atkinson has been fun to watch. And Donovan Mitchell, we know well from the time he was with the Jazz, is just a every game bring massive force to what he does. So this is not a shock to me. I don't know that they can sustain this winning percentage. I don't know if the Thunder can, but Cleveland's a good team, and Cleveland's going to be a team that's around fighting for that one seed all season long in the East. There's no question in my mind about that.
Between Darius Donovan and Evan, who's most important to stop or slow down tonight for the Thunder?
I would say Mitchell, just because he can get on a heater that, you know, generates 20 straight points that can turn a game, but it's not like that's 1A, and 1A is dramatically separated from the other two. You've got to do the job on all three, and they can't allow Mobley to dominate the game defensively. Have to space the floor well and pick their spots as to how and when they attack him. So I think there's a lot of layers strategically to how this game's going to unfold.
Matt, we're super excited about this. We know you got to run, but congrats on the 2024 National Sports Media Association Award. Now that you have the power next year, maybe grease the wheels for your boys, Nick and JP, okay?
There you go. Thank you, guys. Pleasure to be with you.
Thank you so much. I don't think he's going to do it. Matt Pinto there on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I tried. I was thinking he's got his, you know, like maybe it's like the NFL where you got to vote for Miles.
Yeah, well, right? We've got to start the campaign somewhere,
Yeah,
Nick.
You got to do the Stefanski and please, Miles, stay because we're going to say you should be DPOY. And I thought maybe Matt could do the same for us. And then it really went nowhere.
Well, better luck with Ross.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Ross Tucker, Odyssey NFL insider, who would totally help get us nominated for the NSMA Award for 2025, as long as he got it first. Next on 92.3 The Fan.